Ruth chapter number 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. The powers on the floor. How often do you think about the floor? I mean, really. Every place that you go, you enter a building. And you stand on an old, nasty floor.
All right.
A floor that is full of germs. A floor that is not fitted for much.
All right.
We don't give much thought to the floor. The fact of the matter is, the floor is the foundation of the house.
Yes, sir.
All right, all right.
Without a floor, nothing can stay. Yet, in spite of where the floor is, we still misuse the floor.
All right.
The floor is much like a pastor. We never think about you until we need something to stand on. And so what we do on the floor is that we walk on the floor and over the floor without giving much thought to the importance of the floor. Now here we are entering a place and we're looking at the ceiling and at the walls and all the decoration, but no one admires the floor. It is the floor that is holding things up. It is the floor that is the foundation of things. Yet we don't admire the floor. Even when you buy a new house or you get a new floor and you put your new hardwood on the floor, you look at it, but you still walk on it with your dirty shoes because the floor really is not that important to you. And the truth be told, I really don't want to get on the floor because I like my suit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't see myself getting on that nasty floor.
Yeah.
And so here comes God, who's smarter than me. Allow something to happen in your life and he crushes you and he puts you on the nasty floor. Know is there. And so in life, God allows you to go through something. And as God begins to take you through something in life, God sometimes is simply trying to get us off our high horse. Some of us is too high for God. Because the truth is, we really don't need God. Oh, you wouldn't say that. Your actions just would reflect that. On Sunday morning, you just drive by the church. But when the storms of life come, we find ourselves in a corner praying out, calling out to God. And when we're doing that, somehow God forget about how bad we've been. He just extends grace to us. I hope y'all can hear me without this microphone.
Come on, dog.
I need my hands. I need to talk. You can hear me. I need to be me. Y'all excuse me.
Come on, Rachel.
So here it is. We have this floor. And God says to David, you're building a temple. And I want you to go get a threshing floor, and I want you to take that nasty floor and put it in this beautiful temple. Now see, sometimes God will do the most unbelievable thing. He'll take something that looks like nothing, and he'll put it in the midst of your campus to show you what's really holding you up. As we go through things in life, we have a tendency to get dirty sometimes.
Yeah.
In other words, sometimes people won't let you, they won't let you forget about your past.
I hear you now.
And so here they are, keep bringing up your past, and God is saying, but I'm pulling you forward. This little girl, Ruth.
Lord,
she's young.
Older.
And her husband dies. Now that doesn't mean much today, because women today are equal to men, you know, in the sense that you make what they make.
All right.
Come on, Bishop.
What they do.
All right.
The problem is, God has not released the man from his responsibility.
Yeah.
Now, he's not talking about an unequal yoke, as in you're less than a man. What he's saying is that I need a head to work through.
Come on, Bishop.
I'm going somewhere.
You're already there.
And so here's Ruth. Here's Ruth, this young girl. She has nothing. She has no hope. Her source is gone. And now, just because her source is gone, she realized that she can't do much by herself.
Yeah.
Now, she can turn and go back, but I don't know those people. And I'm just going to cling to you, Naomi, and I want your God to be my God. Now, not only do I want your God to be my God, but I'm going to live with you. And all hopes of me ever meeting Mr. Wright, they're just gone. In other words, I'll just sell. I'll just hang out with you, old lady, because I'll never meet him. And so here it is, Naomi says to her, go and do your thing and you'll be all right. And she says, no, I'm committed to you and I won't leave you. And so here's Ruth. Ruth says, let me go out and let me try to make a living for us. Let me try to get something. And Naomi connects him with a kinsman redeemer. Now, kinsman redeemer, what it is somebody who's a part of the family. And I know it seems disgusting to us, but it's somebody who's already been married into the family.
Yeah.
He's available to marry again into the family.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in Alabama. Don't act like
that. Come on, Lisa. Hey, Bishop, come on.
Okay. You don't say
And so, watch God begin to move in her life. Naomi says to her, this is how you catch it.
My God.
I want you to slide by him one night. Now, you know where to find him, chapter number 3. He's sleeping right by the bar.
Come on, Bishop.
This is kind of like, y'all excuse me for getting to church.
Come on, now!
Is when you take something like this and what you do is you take the barley, it's wheat, and it's a two-step process, okay? And so in order to put something on a threshing floor, you have to take it and you have to break it all apart. I'm talking to somebody.
Come on,
come on, now.
You thought you had it going on, and God has been breaking apart. I'm talking to somebody where you was all nice and clean. She says, now go to her. And she's sleeping somewhere. And what I want you to do is slide next to her. And I just need you to sit down. Lay down. Now do it after you get done drinking. something up.
All right.
Now, notice that Bible didn't say any funny business, right? So don't flip that. This is God moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is God moving. I know some things in your life look like they are opportunities, but he already married. Maybe it's not an opportunity. I just feel like
teaching.
I just need you to crawl next to him. And when you crawl next to him, he can't see. He'll feel you. What he's doing is that he's watching and protecting the threshing floor. Now, yeah, I know you're wondering, what is the threshing floor? The threshing floor is really a place of testing. It's really a place in where God separates the wheat. It's really a place where God separates the truth from false.
That's
really just a place of separation. That's what the floor is all about. And so what you do with the wheat is that you crunch it up really good and you throw it and the Holy Spirit blows. And what falls down, the Bible declares, whatever is good is going to fall down. And when the Holy Spirit touches everything else, it'll separate it. There's some food. Is because God is separating you. There's some relationship that's been closed up in the air, and God had to move. God had to allow the Holy Spirit to come through and separate you because God is taking you a place. And the way God is taking you, everybody can't go with you. He's trying to pull the floor. He can't go with you. Maybe you're going to walk that thing out by yourself. Maybe you got to know that he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so you God is still in. He's still in control. And so here's the hand. He's working from a threshing.
Come on, Bishop.
He's trying to separate some stuff.
My God.
He's trying to get things one on this side and one on that side. But the problem is, I keep fighting God because I say, God, I like her. And I like him. And I like it. And it feels good. And God has said, baby, but you're blocking your blessings. It's not your temporary. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking about me right now. Is God want to push you forward? God wants you to move forward. And so what God has to do sometimes is God has to crush you. Yeah. Somebody said God will never use a man or a woman until he first crush a man or a woman. And you wondering why God is crushing you, putting all kind of weight on you, is because God is saying, because the power is on the floor.
Yeah.
The power is on the floor. I don't know if you remember it, but when I was really, really young, we had something going on in school. And when what you had in school is that we used to have these drills in school. And the drills in school was to teach little children how to get out of a burning building. Somebody said, if you stop, drop, and roll, you'll be all right. See, sometimes God has allowed us to be on a fast track. And so God is saying, now stop. And so when you stop, when God says stop, all he wants you to do is just drop. Is on the floor.
Yeah.
See, because sometimes in life, life knocks you off your feet.
Yeah.
If you have an experience, keep living. See, but every time life knocks you off your feet, I'm so glad I can land on my knees. I have a little talk with the God that I serve. I know that he's able to do all things. But say, have you ever tried the Lord? Get down on your knees. Turn to your left, turn to your right. Nobody can help you, but you call upon the name of
Jesus. Won't he make a way out of it? You gotta go through.
And see, sometimes in life when God get ready to use us, I'm talking about really get ready, he'll press us down. And when God begins to press us down, you gotta think about the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means oil press. In other words, when God takes you to your cross, he says, I gotta press all of you out of you. I gotta press that jealousy out of you. I gotta press that lying tongue out of you. I gotta press hatred out of you. I gotta press backbiting out of you. And when he begins to press everything out of you, God says, now, baby, you fresh, and I'm ready to use you. See, God knows where he's taking you. So he's just pressing. He's just pressing. And God, the truth of the matter is, it's so much pressure that is on me. I feel like I'm going to break. But what I know about you, God, you said that you'll never place more on me than I can bear. So whatever it is I'm going through, baby, you need to know right now, God, you need to know this about me. I may not do it right all the time, baby, but I'm sitting on the threshing floor for you. I'm being separated just for you right now. And so God is separating you from somebody right now. God is separating you from some stuff right now. He just wants you to get on the floor, baby, and just sit on the floor. Just camp out on the floor. All night on the floor. Just sit on the floor. Your blessings is coming from the floor. Your power is on the floor. Your healing is on the floor. Your finances is on the floor. Your turnaround is on the floor. Your healing is on the floor. Your relationship is on the floor. Everything that you need, baby, is on the floor. When Jesus stepped forward on an old ragged cross, he then took one foot, put it on the floor called earth, touched heaven, and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, baby. If you come through me, baby, I promise you, I'll get you home, baby. You gotta trust him, even when you can't see it, baby. You gotta know he's there, baby, even when you don't feel it, baby. You gotta know that God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I know who's coming against you, but no weapon that is formed against you, baby, shall ever prosper. Every lying tongue, you better believe, baby, I'll take care of them. You gotta know I got a plan for you, and my plan for you, baby, isn't just heaven. Who wants to go through hell on earth just to get to heaven? You better give me a kingdom mindset on this earth. You better make me enjoy something on this earth. You better give me an overflow on this earth. Watch this. I'm almost done. Watch this. Watch this. So here it is. Ruth, slide next to her.
Come on,
middle of the night. And when she slide next to him, says, now don't you say a word. Now what he's going to do is that he's going to take his little covering. And what he's going to do is that he's going to cover you. And the reason that he's going to cover you is because he doesn't want anybody to see that you're laying in the bed with me. Because you know how folks is. Folks think that something is going on. And we're really just praying together. Think something going on. So he says, I'm just going to hide you. So tomorrow morning, ain't nobody going to put your business in the street. But the thing about tomorrow morning, sweetheart, is that when you wake up, something will have changed in your mind. See, her position to come and slide next to him was a position. It really was a question. The question was, will you marry me? That really was the question. See, the question is, will you marry me? That's what the threshing floor is all about. It's about separating you from all your bad stuff to put you in a place that God wants you to be. See, sometimes God has to take you through some weird stuff just to get you to where you need to go. And so the question again is, will you marry me? He woke up the next morning. Of course, he says, yeah, I married you. And so the old man thought all things were dead, only to know that things have been revealed. You see, sometimes God can raise some stuff up. Stuff. You know all the naysayers in your life? God can wake up some stuff. See, God knows how to separate God begins to separate you. He wants you to do one simple thing for him. And notice what she did. God says, I need you to go down and I need you to lay right next to him. And see, in essence, what the Bible is saying is that you need to present your body.
Come on, Bishop.
I told you what nothing going on. So I need you to present your body as a living sacrifice. And I'm going to cover you to make sure it stay holy. Because I got to work for you. I know where I'm taking you. I know what you needed to go through. And I also know how to break you. And now that I broke you, I can use you. Because you know that it's nobody but Jesus that's got in your life. And I find it so strange. The old man says, I gotta accept what you're doing. It reminds me of coming to church. You know, when you come to church, you bring some issues with you.
Come on, Mr.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Bishop.
Had you. Then I start talking about your issues, and I lost you. Because you're still in denial. You don't think that you have any issues. You see, God can't do a thing in you until you first acknowledge what's going on. And so what God says sometimes is that I got to take you to a place where I got to let you acknowledge who you are and accept yourself for who you are. You're always trying to change yourself, trying to change somebody. Baby, just come to Jesus as you are. He'll do the changing in your life. He says, just come to me and I'll change. If the word of God can't change, I don't need to be changed. If I let you change me today, you may wake up tomorrow and want to change me back. And then you may want me to be some mess on Wednesday. And you may want me to trip on Thursday. You may want me to act a fool on Friday. And then on Saturday, you may want me to be some mess. But when God changed me, baby, it's an eternal change. I need to talk to somebody who knows they've been changed. I'm talking about somebody that the angels of heaven can sign your name, baby. And you know that you've been changed. You gotta accept it. What you have to accept is where you are. It's ugly, but accept it. And see, the problem that we have sometimes is that we can't let down what we've gone through. In other words, we keep bringing stuff up. And so every time I see somebody, instead of me seeing what God is doing in their life, you know what she used to do? Yeah, but God is blessing her right now. But let me tell you where she came from. Yeah, but let me tell you how God used her on Sunday just to lead folks into his presence. But did you know this about, I knew that about her. And the truth of the matter is I know more about myself. But if God received me, I don't care if you don't receive me. I know the man that I serve. I know that he's able to change. And so as long as he's able to change, I'm all right. You don't have to accept me because God has already accepted me. So now once he accepts you, then you have to know this. You have to know this. And that is when God accepts you, there's something that God will take you. And what it's called is a place of assembly. The Bible declares, for saying that themselves are the assembly of saints. You listen, folk. You can't be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit and not going to church. But I was looking at T.D. Jakes on TV. Ooh, I got a word for them 28:30. I'm telling you, I got a word. Now, when you get sick, don't you call Bishop Hill. Once you take down whatever the area code is in Texas, and you ask for him. See, we got to assemble together. When we come together, there's power. power in being together. You see, when I'm weak and I'm down, there's somebody in the house that got a word for me. It may not be a Bible verse. It may be just hold on. I may be going through something and you may not be able to quote nothing to me. You just smile. That's good enough for me. Sometimes the truth of the matter is I don't want you to quote nothing to me. I just want to know that you're there. I don't need you to get super holy on me. I just need to know that you love me. I don't need you to preach a word to me. I got enough word in me. I just need you to encourage me. Just stand next to my side. No, no, no. Don't say nothing. Just stand next to my side. I just need to know that you're there. If I need you, I know where you are. Now, don't get on the phone. Don't call Sister Sue and tell Sister Sue. I just need to know that you're
there. Come on, Miss Sue.
Ruth wanted Naomi to know.
My God.
That she was there.
Come on, Bishop.
I wonder how many people in your life you know that are there. I wonder if you begin to go through something. I wonder if you get caught up in something.
Come on, Bishop.
How many of them leave you? I mean, you just get caught up. Wrong place, wrong time. I can pray about it, but the truth of the matter is, I did it.
Come on, Bishop.
I wonder how many of them will bring it up again. What I love about God is that when you take something to Him, He doesn't bring it up again. When you take something to Him, He says, I invite you to come. All I need you to do is just to cast all your cares on me. Because I care about you. And see, what He's doing is inviting us to bring all His problems and just lay them on the threshing floor. See, sometimes in life, the threshing floor may not be a place where God is separating you from something. Sometimes your threshing floor may be an old closet in your room. But that's all right. It works too. The God that I serve, He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. See, I can call on Him in the closet. I can call on Him in a car. I can call on Him when the car is flipping upside down. I can call on Him when my world is inside out. But He says, I'm right there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Have you ever called upon the Lord? Won't He show up in your life? Won't He make a man know that? Stuck in a situation and you call upon the name of the Lord. You see, I'm telling you, when you call upon the name of the Lord, then He shows up. Nobody have to tell you how good He is. You know it all for yourself. I'm talking about when He show up in your life, nobody has to say, come on and raise your hand and praise Him, because I got something to shout for. I got something to praise for. See, I know when God has really shown up in your life, because nobody can make you shut your mouth in the church. When God really moves in your life, that's the person that just can't sit still. Because Jeremiah says, every time I try to be quiet, it feels like fire. Shut up in my bone. I need to talk to somebody tonight that you're going through something right now, and you try to shut up, and you try not to talk about it, but it feels like fire. Shut up in your bone. I need to talk to somebody tonight. If you don't tell somebody how good God is, you're going to set yourself on fire. I need to talk to somebody tonight. If you don't let me out, a praise is going to go all across you. I need to talk to somebody tonight. You've been holding it all day, walking around for 8 hours on somebody else's job. Couldn't praise them, but now I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. And now that I'm here, baby, don't you sit down on your praise. You better give them some praise. You better give them some praise. You better give them some praise. You better shout like He's already done something. You better shout like He's already hello you. You better shout.
I'm done and I'm glad.
Ah, God.
Thank you.
I'm done and I'm glad.
Thank you.
See, I just want to take you somewhere.
Thank you.
Quick before I finish. And that is, I want to take you to a place of praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's what I learned about pastoring a church. Is that your number one responsibility is always the praise leader. And see, sometimes, well, there you go, sometimes and the church door is closed and the keyboard is shut you got to find some music inside of you. Right now, just to find a praise without a keyboard, I dare you right now, Jesus, just to begin.
Right.